Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Been drinking again, haven't you?
The sauce.
I've been hitting the sauce. Oh my gosh. Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I just thought I'd do it a little different this time.
Can I hear
just like make it like an announcement?
You can hear one more time?
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
I'm Rob Schneider, and this is Kevin David Thomas.
And we are going to do our favorite things.
No, we're not going to do our favorite things. We are going,
we're going to share our favorite things. Hashtag Throwback Thursday once again.
Hashtag TBT. Hope summer's treating you nicely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I literally get out of the subway and I just feel so gross.
And then you have that walk up to do on top of it.
I live on a fifth story walk up.
Yeah.
Five flights up.
Yeah.
What is it in Promises? Promises? Upstairs.
I love that score.
Is it two flights up or three flights up?
Upstairs. Two flights up.
Chuck Baxter has a better apartment than
asshole.
I do. I'm up on the fifth flight. I'm always like, my husband's like, make sure we lock the door when we leave. I'm like, if somebody climbs up here five flights to steal, they deserve it. They can
and
take
they
whatever
deserve
they
all
want.
All those Theater World books that you have on the shelf. Every single one from 1950?
No. I think the first one.
It's Theater. I mean, you have every single one, Rob.
I do. I'm very proud of that. I think the first Theater World's 1944.
There you go again saying I think when you know exactly when it was.
1944.
I think it was 1944.
My prized possession is I own an entire Theater World collection from 1944 to present day.
Boy, they're cool books. Those are really special.
And they're so helpful. And I'll be honest with you, if I ever came home and the house was robbed, do you know the first thing I would look at is to make sure the books are there. Then I'd be like, where's my husband?
No. And then where's my Angel Cast recording?
Where's my you stole it. I have a feeling if I stacked up $1 million in the living room and the Angel Cast recording,
yeah,
and the only thing that was missing was the cast recording, I knew it was you. I know you, Kevin David Thomas.
True.
With your three names, you should be a 90s composer. Oh, why are you here? I did the new Kevin David Thomas workshop at Playwrights. Oh, that's wonderful. Is it going anywhere? No, not really.
No,
okay.
they just perform it there. That's it. They only do three name composers at Playwrights.
That's the way it works over there. Don't you know that? That's when you submit. Three names, people.
Oh, man.
Three names.
They're my names, too. They're my real names.
Kevin David Thomas. Oh, yeah. It's not a stage name or anything, right?
No.
Did you already?
There was a Kevin Thomas in Equity when I joined way back in 2002, and I remember, and they were like, sorry, you can't be Kevin Thomas.
Did you always go by Kevin David Thomas, like in school and stuff? Was it
no,
the full name?
It was just Kevin Thomas, but my grandma wanted to be named David, and then my parents weren't like so hot on that name, so they're like, you know what, we'll make his middle name David. And then she would always call me Kevin David. She always did. She was the only person who ever called me Kevin David. And then when I became a professional and everything, I went by that. And now I go by my initials a lot of times, KDT. A lot of people call me KDT.
Oh yeah, KDT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. And it's taken me many years to embrace the pretension of three first names, it seems a little much to me a little bit. Kevin David Thomas, but I like it now. I own it.
I hope this isn't offensive. I've never associated three names with pretension, but anytime there's like a serial killer or a presidential assassin, they usually call them by their three
names.
They
always say, don't trust a person with three names.
I trust you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I trust you.
I trust you implicitly.
Yeah. You and the other Rob Schneider.
You see, that was always my bane.
That's tough.
That was always my bane.
That's tough.
Which was...
you're the comedian. You're the guy in all the Adam Sandler movies.
Yep.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Rob Schneider. Yeah, I used to be Rob Schneider. And when I teach, students get very disappointed. Because they're like, I'm taking class with Rob Schneider. Gosh. And they go and they see me up there, who doesn't look like Rob Schneider. Looks like fucking Mel Cooley from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Town.
No, seriously, during Doppelganger Week, that's the doppelganger I kept getting.
No.
Yeah, I don't mind. He was very funny. Seriously. I'm like, that's fine with me. I think he was funny and sexy.
Amazing.
I'm smoking his fake cigarette. You can't see
it. I like it.
I'm really not. I'm staring at a half-eaten mozzarella stick. which you might remember from last week's episode.
It's still there.
It's still there. It's not. I've not cleaned the apartment, but that's okay. So, Kevin, what's going on? Do we have a favorite thing?
I'm excited about today's clip because I have yet to do a funny YouTube clip. And this, I'm taking this down the YouTube hole.
You are so lovely with all your choices. It's always very lovely. Yeah, and now it's a YouTube clip.
And this time, this is a very specific clip by a very specific woman. It's a tough one because it's not the most... Is it the most brilliant acting you've ever seen? No.
Listen,
no,
when Mother Teresa was an Agnes of God, she was trying her best.
Agnes of God, always.
I love Agnes of God.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, it's great. This is a woman who is a gospel singer. She's a praise worshiper. And she has her set of vocal pipes is like unlike anything I've ever heard. Okay. She's got whistle tones like Mariah Carey, you know, singing up really crazy high. She can riff all over the place, you know, and a lot of the singing in the gospel church is not written. You know, you do it by ear. You listen. Okay, I'll take this note. Now you take a third up. So you get this amazing singing. And a lot of times it's not notated. It's created. You're just creating a sound and you're feeling it and all that. So I'm going to ask our listeners and we'll post her name. Her name is Lecrecia Campbell, L-E-C-R-E-S-I-A, Campbell, like the soup, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. She is a singing actress worshiper. She's still with us, alive and well, and tours the country and sings in churches and all of that. And but she was in a show. There's a crass way of saying it, and I did look it up, and I'm not being wrong in saying this, but back in the early 1900s and the late 1800s, the theaters, the circuit of theaters that African Americans could perform in across the country was known as the quote unquote Chitlin' Circuit.
Yeah.
And now Tyler Perry, of course, has sort of taken that and up the level. And now they call it the Urban Theater Circuit is what we call it today.
Oh, I didn't know
that. That's what Ebony Magazine says that we call that, the Urban Theater Circuit.
Anymore. I did not know that. Yeah. That's very interesting.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, I don't want to offend. And it's, you know, but it is what it is. It's usually very it's gospel based music. It's has usually a morality theme to the goings on. There's usually a backup choir off stage that's singing and supporting it. The plot is usually, you know, it's about, you know, man and woman and family problems and all of that. And Tyler Perry made millions and millions and millions of dollars out of Atlanta doing these circuits, doing these kinds of shows.
He rejuvenated the entertainment industry in Atlanta because he built a huge studio and all of his gets filmed in Atlanta.
And he gets critiqued for it too. And people, some people say you're exploiting the black cause. You're showing us as a cartoon or something. But then there's a lot of people that are saying, well, you're actually teaching me morality and you're helping me and you're helping my life and you're bringing me closer to God and all of that. You know?
Yeah, it's very divided.
Live your life, you know, whatever works for you. But I'll tell you, Lecrecia Campbell, I don't know if she's ever done a Tyler Perry show, but she was in a show called Mr. Right Now. Mr. Right, like Mr.
Yeah.
Right. As in, like, I have to find.
Yes.
But as Mr. Right Now. So Mr. Right being God or Jesus.
Amazing.
Namely. And so it was a show that she was in. Now, fortunately for us, we have a clip of her doing one of the numbers from said musical. I guess we could call it a musical, musical. And I need you to type in her name, and then I need you to type in the three words, lonely old woman. This is the song that she sings. A lot of these are. I wish you had seen it, Rob. You're going to see it. I want to watch it as soon as we get
you
done.
You have blown my mind because I have
I
never
thought
heard
for
of
sure
this.
You've seen this before. My buddy Derek showed it to me years ago, and then I saw it again recently. And every time I'm like, I'm so completely rocked by it because her talent is out of control. You know, is it a song that's like Sondheim where it's like, we're going from point A to point B, I'm going on a journey? No, it's not. She says the same thing over and over again. I'm a lonely old woman. And on the bridge, she gives you examples on why. I'll more to that in a minute. But what it is interesting is that it's R&B. There's like crazy riffs all over the place. The backup choir is constantly saying, lonely old woman, like over and over again. That's what they're singing. And then I can't tell if she's improvising half the time or if she's just kind of doing what she wants to do. But basically, a lot of these songs start with like a really dramatic monologue and then they go into the song like that. So what happens is she's on stage and she looks like very much like a lonely old woman. and she's all by herself. She's in like a set. The set is like the kitchen's behind the couch. The couch is downstage center, okay? And she's the very first line is like, I'm a lonely old woman. And she's like, God, what do I have? I don't have anything. But I got you, God. I got you. And then she starts singing, I'm a lonely old woman. And then she's saying to God, she's saying to Jesus, like, mold me, like, hold me. And it becomes very impassioned so that she gets up. And at one point, she's like feeling her body all over because she's so like, she's feeling that the spirit all in her. But it gets a little like... almost sexual, almost. She falls to her knees at one point, and she continues to like writhe a little bit, and then wait.
You're sweating. It's just so you know, there are beads of sweat coming off of you.
So when she says "hold me, mold me," all that, she's on, and then she like gets up for like the bridge section, and she's like, I don't want to cook by myself. And when she says that, she goes to the stove and she grabs a pot, the top of the lid, and she's like, I don't want to cook no more. And she puts that back down. Great indication, just indicating.
Absolutely.
Fine. And then she goes into this whistle tone sequence where she's saying the same thing over and over again, but she's like, lonely, and just kind of improvises like Ella Fitzgerald in a way. And then she taught that you think, how can you end this song? Like, is it like Elphaba? Like, No, the music winds down, and all she does before she limps off stage is she goes, she's like, I'm a lonely woman. Yes, I am. And then leaves. It's genius. It is, her performance is so jaw-droppingly like, you're kind of like, is this amazing? Or is this like, it's good, but it's wackadoo.
I have never heard of this.
You, Lucretia Campbell. Lonely. There's other ones that she. There's another one that I will do that another
day.
Does
she have like her own channel on there?
No, I don't think so.
Or just if you search, you're going to find others.
I mean, her voice is sick. I mean, like, her voice is just absolutely unreal. And she's toured the country, and she has played like Effie, of course. But I think she's known for doing more praise.
She younger?
No. I'd say she's probably in her 50s now, maybe even 60s. But she's been doing this for years. But you can watch her sing, and she will sing. In her gospel and her praise clips. You know.
Wow.
But I love her drama. Her theatrical stuff is
that's what we're looking for, is the theatricality.
That's the good stuff right there.
Maybe she'll get her own TV show.
She's been on the Trinity Broadcasting Network and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like her own show or like as a guest?
I don't know, but I think she sings on that a lot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. TBN.
Yeah, yeah, she's known. I mean, she's very known in the gospel world for sure.
Interesting. I did not know that.
But it's the theatrical circuit that I'm mainly interested in.
I am.
And because we're of that world, we can look at it, and the values are a little different, and the production values are completely different, and but it's still completely fascinating, and maybe a little funny too.
I cannot wait. I am like, I kind of want to just name my favorite thing and run out to go watch this because I'm so curious right now. I cannot wait. Oh my gosh!
Yep, so check it out, friends. It's 4 minutes of your life that you're just gonna be. You're just gonna throw your hands up and say thank you.
Wow. I hope you can't see it, but I'm eyeing my computer right now to be like, can I secretly type it in? That is incredible. Okay.
All right, so gosh. That's mine for the day.
Mine will not live up to that.
No, it's okay.
Mine will not live up to that. But also actually somewhat spiritual as well.
Ah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
In a certain way.
That made a good segue.
Mine's a musical.
Okay.
It was a musical that was done in the early aughts of this century, off-Broadway. It was a musical that I discovered a few years after it premiered because I directed it as my graduate thesis.
Really?
At Penn State University. I got my MFA at Penn State. It's a very interesting MFA. It's an MFA in directing for the musical theater. And no other school in the world offers that. They offer MFAs in directing, but ours specifically
really cool.
is directing for musicals.
That's really special.
And the head of the program is Susan H. Shulman.
Yeah.
And Susan is the president of the Directors Union right now for theater. But she also directed the original Secret Garden. Mm-hmm. She did Little
she
Women.
She did my favorite musical. Violet.
Violet. She did Violet.
Yeah.
She did
at Playwrights Horizons.
Yeah. Oh, Playwrights Horizons. Mm-hmm. She did. Anyway, she's a brilliant, brilliant person. I hope to get her on the podcast because she has fascinating stories.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was the one who brought this show to me and said, for your thesis, she goes, you should do this. I think it's right up your alley. And so she handed me the script to something called A Man of No Importance.
Oh, I was going to say Bernardo Alba, A Man of No Importance, of course.
I also did Bernardo Alba.
Well, that was at the Mitzi Newhouse as well.
Oh, that's
and
true.
But
I did.
I saw that production.
You A Man of No Importance?
Yes.
Was
A
it?
Man of No Importance. It's beautiful.
This show takes me to church. This
totally.
Show, I think, is one of the most beautiful pieces of musical theater within the past 30 years, and it is just to give you a little history of who wrote it and all that stuff, it's by the same team who did Ragtime. So it's Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty and Terrence McNally wrote the book. It was one of the first musicals Joe Mantello directed, director of Wicked, and it's a beautiful story about a bus driver in Dublin in the 1960s named Alfie Byrne. And Alfie wants to put on a community theater production of Oscar Wilde's Salome in the church basement. And the church has always allowed him to put on shows for the community. But Salome is a little too salacious and sexual for them.
A little risque.
As the show goes on, what you start to realize is that Alfie, who's in his mid-50s and lives with his sister and is
single.
Never married, is gay. And the musical is really about his acceptance of his sexuality and the community's acceptance of his sexuality. But the one thing also is that I think is so beautiful is there's a song in there called Love Who You Love. And I think this show reflects that very nicely. It's not about being gay. It's not about being straight. It's about loving what you love in life, whether it is men, whether it's women, whether it's you're loving the theater, whether you love God, whatever you love, you must follow your love. And one of the things that I think is so beautiful is that when a lot of the town ostracizes him for his homosexuality, it's the theater community that he's built that accepts him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a great thing that we as theater artists do, which is, and I think you can see this in any high school theater program across America, if you feel strange or you feel different or you feel like you don't fit in, the theater community accepts that.
Yeah.
It's the one place where everybody can go and be accepted because as soon as you walk in, then you go, everybody here is crazy, and there's really no hierarchy and all of that. And I think this show is absolutely beautiful. And I was going through a scrapbook that I had yesterday of my production of it. And I just a very quick shout out. The people that were in my college production of it have all gone on to do some pretty amazing things. The lovely young lady who sings Princess.
Princess, yeah.
The person who played it for me was Caroline Bowman, who just recently finished up Elphaba on Broadway.
Good for her.
And is now playing Evita in Evita. She did the national tour of Evita.
Wow.
Nathan Lucrezio, who was in Cinderella.
Nice.
Jason Sparks, who's Warren Carlyle's associate choreographer, and he's going to be the associate on Hello Dolly coming up. Dan Gleason, who's also in Wicked. And our assistant stage manager was a guy named Mike Carnes, who now does all the social media for Hamilton.
Good gig.
Who has his own company. He's like 26, and he has a company called Marathon Live Entertainment, which does a whole bunch of social media. So that team is very special in my heart. And the show is very special in my heart. And this is very hard to find, but the musical is based on a movie. And it's a beautiful movie with Albert Finney, who plays the bus driver. It's a play. It's a, you know, a straight film. It's a non-musical film.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely beautiful and breathtaking. It hasn't been released on DVD in the United States, but hopefully you can find it somewhere because I think it's one of the most beautiful performances from an actor.
Wow.
On stage, it was Roger Rees, the late great Roger Rees. Faith Prince of Miss Adelaide fame was his sister. And a very young Stephen Pasquale was his friend who worked on the bus with him
That's right.
that he ends up having feelings for. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. if your theater company is looking for an intimate musical to do and one that reminds you how beautiful storytelling can be and how beautiful the theater can be, then I suggest look no further than A Man of No Importance.
Yeah, I saw it. My mother and I, when my parents lived in Atlanta, and my mom and I would see shows just when I was on break from college, or not even, though I was after college, doesn't matter. But we saw a maybe semi-professional community theater production of it, and I went into it being like, oh, mom, I don't know about this, Irish yeah. accents, and it was incredible. I think this piece is so well written that it works across the board. Like, absolutely. It doesn't matter where or what or who, but it's just the theme is there. The music is that's Flaherty and Aaron's. You guys, come on, they've been doing this for how long? Anastasia just opened at Hartford Stage. You know, they've been doing this for decades now.
And here's what I applaud about them. There's two things I want to applaud. One is the versatility of their music. This is 1960s Ireland. If you listen to this score and you listen to Ragtime and you listen to
Dessa Rose
or Lucky Stiff or yeah. Once in This Island, none of those musicals sound anything like yeah. one another.
Different flavors.
All written by the same two individuals. And to me, that's incredible. And the other thing I want to give them a shout out for is when I work with new writers and they're struggling on their opening, I always say, go back to Aaron's and Flaherty, because nobody writes opening numbers the way they do. If you listen to the opening number of this show or Ragtime or My Favorite Year.
Dessa Rose. I love it.
In the beginning, you get the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how, and you're home clear after that. You don't need 21 songs. You don't need 45 songs explaining exposition. You get everything right at the beginning, and they do it brilliantly.
Agreed.
So my favorite thing for this week, but my favorite thing permanently, is A Man of No Importance.
Really good one. Really good one.
And yours was just as good.
Lucretia Campbell.
We're both going to church.
Yeah, we are.
With Alfie and Lucretia. All right. We will see you all next time.
Right, bye,
take
everybody.
Care. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.